Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sean Springs played in the game the last time this organization played in a divisional round game, January of 2006 at Seattle, after they beat Tampa in the wild card round. Another chance tomorrow night for this franchise to advance to an NFC title game. Sean joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. What do you remember? There's one thing I remember specifically about that Seattle game. What do you remember about it?
If Carlo picks off that ball and runs it down the sideline, that game is over. Come on, Carlos Rogers. You know, it was a good game, man. I thought we jumped up on him, and then the Seahawks, you know, obviously playing out there. It was a pretty tough environment, but we handled them pretty much. And then if we pick that ball off, Carlo picks it off and run down the sideline, the game is over because our defense was stout that day. And they just made a few plays, and we fumbled. But it was good.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. I mean, LeVar had already knocked out Sean Alexander. He was the league MVP. And you've got Carlos Rogers. And did you tell me this, or did I read this somewhere, that when he left Washington, he ended up getting LASIK? And he ended up catching everything after he left Washington because he had better vision. Is that true?
Yeah. That's a true story. I think it was a league story. I think it came out like in Pro Football Weekly or something. That he was dropping balls in Washington because when his cover percentage and everything, he batted down a lot of balls and dropped a lot of picks. But he goes out to San Fran in free agency, he gets an eye exam, and realizes that he needs LASIK surgery because what is it called when the ball gets up on you fast and he loses at the last minute?
Right.
Was that nearsighted?
Yeah, and that would be farsighted, I think.
Farsighted.
Yeah, when you can't see close, yeah.
It come up on it because, you know, sometimes ball can get up on you fast, and he just loses it at the last minute. He gets his eyes corrected, and I think he has 8 or 9 picks that year, becomes first-team All-Pro.
Yeah. Second-team All-Pro he made in 2011, his first year in San Francisco.
Yeah. Second-team All-Pro.
All right. I mean, that was too bad because, although, remember, offensively, we were struggling. I mean, it's still a record, the 41 passing yards by Brunell in the win over Tampa is the fewest passing yards, Sean, I think, in a playoff win in modern era football. And people were hurt. I think Taylor Jacobs was in at wide receiver. But you're right, man. That 2005 team, I think that was one of the – I mean, because there have been a lot of bad defenses around here for a long time. That team was a really good defensive team. So was the 2007 team. That was decent.
Yeah. Yeah. We had some – you know, under Greg Williams, that 2004 and 5 team, you know, I think we were number 3 and 04. And then, I mean, we were pretty stout, man. You know, obviously our pass defense was, you know, with some talented guys back there, because I think, you know, Vinny went out and got all first rounders from LeBron and Sean and Carlos and myself. So pass defense was pretty good. I just remember those are the good old days. Now we got a new team, man. I love it. I love it.
So let's talk about that. First of all, I haven't talked to you since early in the season. We had you on early in the season. And at that point, Jaden had already started to show that he was pretty damn good. But you've sat there now and you've watched this dude for 18 games. Is what we're watching real in your mind? Is he legitimately an elite quarterback?
Yeah, we have, as Washington Commander fans, we have a little PTSD from Robert's first year where he was amazing and then it went down, wasn't as expected. We thought he was going to have him in the franchise about 15 years. Jaden Daniels is a 15-year, I mean, he's good as advertised. I mean, when you think about his skill set, you know, we knew he could throw the deep ball. We knew he could throw the run. And even kind of knew, obviously, he was a second pick overall, that he made good decisions. But I had no idea that, you know, you combine all his skill set with his character and work ethic and, you know, humble just personality, that it would happen so fast. In the NFL, normally it takes about a year or two to see what you really got. This kid is amazing. This kid is amazing. And it's a culmination of all those things that make him great, you know, and his poise. And just, you know, I can't speak highly enough of him. And, you know, each week on Players Cup, me, London, and Santana, we get guys in, and all they talk about is, you know, how great of a leader he is. And that's, oftentimes that's rare, because a guy who's, you know, a high draft pick and he's also a quarterback, kind of given that, and people just say, oh, he's the leader, he's the quarterback, and it's kind of handed to him.
Yeah.
But if you see the way DQ and those guys handled him, he earned it, man. Like, those guys love him. Those guys are, you mean, this team believes that they can win the game at any moment. They believe that the game is never over. Obviously, we had the Hail Noah and a couple of late wins. But everyone believes it. You know, everyone believes it. And just an awesome deal.
I mean, you got a chance, you know, at the end of your career to play in New England with Belichick and with Brady. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that old saying, when you have that guy, everybody on the team, every player, every coach, everybody that works for the franchise thinks when that guy's on the bus headed to the stadium, you got a chance to win or you're going to win. Does that permeate, you know, the locker room when you, I mean, you played with Brady. Did you feel that way? I mean, is that a legitimate thing?
Hey, it's just like when you're sick and your mom gives you that chicken noodle soup, everything going to be all right, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a quarterback, man. He's a stabilizing factor within the organization, man. And he, you know, Brady was, you know, he was the hardest working dude on the team. So that set the tone. His personality was like, leave your ego at the door. Obviously, that was set by Bill and that organization, but that was just Brady himself. So when you have that, everybody else, how can you be a jerk if the best player and the captain and the leader of your team is a good guy? What happens is everybody else realizes, like, you need to ship up or be shaped. I mean, shape up or be shipped out. Like, we're building something special here. You see that when you have great leadership at quarterback, obviously Brady and other great quarterbacks. Peyton Manning is one that comes to mind during my era. You just see it. And then when you don't have that type of leadership inside the locker room or that guy as a head, you could also see how toxic and negative and dysfunctional organization can be when they don't have that CEO quarterback as the head of their franchise.
Yeah. As a defensive player, you know, heading into a game against a quarterback like Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, you know, quarterbacks that are true, not just dual threat, but can also sling it. What game plan are you hoping to get as a corner, as a defensive player?
The game plan I hate is when you have to play man coverage for two reasons. One, you know, when I was in the league, we had guy Michael Vick and, you know, you turn your back and you're chasing the receiver down the sideline and he's running you off. Look at, then you look back and Michael is running right. He's running right beside you. You're like, oh, crap, I got to go get him. So, you know, oftentimes when you're in man, and so that's one. And the second thing is when, you know, a guy can extend the play and, you know, off the rhythm throws and he's scrambling back there. It's like duck, duck, goose back there. You know, it's hard to cover receivers more than 3-4 seconds. I mean, covering a receiver for 2 seconds is almost impossible. When a guy can extend the play 4 or 5 seconds, like, you know, it's terrifying, honestly, as a defense. So the defense that I often hope we play is we have vision on the ball. We play zone. We everybody had eyes on a guy like that, or if the receiver scrambled, we could pick him up once the play broke down and then attach ourselves to the receivers and, you know, hope that our spire, whoever's watching the quarterback, can go make a play. I prefer to be in a zone situation, throw different looks, confuse them. Don't just line up a man, don't just line up a zone, but obviously, you know, their legs, they can pose a serious threat, so you got to confuse them.
Yeah, I mean, everything you're saying makes total sense. So I would ask you, Detroit plays as much man coverage as anybody does in the league. They got absolutely torched by Josh Allen, the last kind of, you know, extend the play quarterback, dual threat opportunity quarterback they faced. Is it tough to change when you've been a man team most of the year to play differently in a playoff game?
I would say it's hard to go from zone to man. It's not hard to go from man to zone. Aaron Glenn, shout out to Coach Glenn, Aaron's longtime NFL vet, OG corner in the league. I mean, he lives and dies by man coverage. But with that being said, I mean, after seeing Josh Allen, Dan Campbell and those guys, they're pretty aggressive. I'm not sure if they are going to change, but I would, with a guy like Jaden and understanding what happened when they played the Bills, they would have to change. Or here's what they would do. They will play man, and one of the linebackers or safety, the guy who's in the hole, is a spy player.
Right.
They just play the same coverage, but they're going to designate somebody to Jaden. One of the most interesting matchups, one-on-ones, like oftentimes in the league, I matched up. But you know, when we played Atlanta, that was the first time I actually matched up on a quarterback. My job was to stand in the middle field, like on second and long and third down, and chase Mike Vick down if he got out. I didn't even check. I don't even know who their receivers were at the time. My job.
How did you do?
In Seattle. Come on, man. You know what I did. I did what I do. I always do what I do. I made some plays.
Yeah, but Vic is Vic. So you made some plays, but did he get the best of you every once in a while?
No. Okay. He did it. He fixed my guy. But, you know, I can't say I wasn't scared to death the whole time. but it was a good game. We had a good game plan.
You know, I thought it was interesting, and we talked about it earlier in the week. The 3rd and 6 that they had on the final drive Sunday night in Tampa, where he hit De'Ami Brown, and there were legitimately 2 players spying him. Now, maybe one of them had Eckler, you know, if Eckler comes out, you know, rather than stays in on pass protection. But I don't think I can't remember 2 spies on a quarterback. That really puts a defense at a disadvantage in coverage, doesn't it?
Well, to your point, I think that's great analogy for the fans out there. It may look like 2-1 may have Eckler if he stays in, but obviously he's keeping his eye on Eckler. But he's also very aware where Jaden is at all times, because, you know, like, baby, like, listen, he goes this way, force him back to me, right? I got Eckler. I'm gonna try to hang with you as long as I can and show the look of 2 guys, but really I might have the back. So, you know what? And another thing teams are doing, obviously you got to do it against the Eagles with Jalen and Lamar. They're loop stunt. They do stunts up front where, you know, the tackles might go wide and then the ends will come back in, so you always have somebody in the face. The rush is just not a generic rush. You got to do some stunts up front to kind of affect his run lanes and pass lanes. So more so than you probably would a guy who just stands in the pocket. So you'll probably see a lot of that, on top of having spies.
By the way, real quickly, Brian Finneran, Sean Jefferson, and then the tight end Algie Crumpler were Vic's receivers in a game in which the Seattle Seahawks with Sean Springs on the field held Vic to just 40 yards on 13 carries. That's a good job. Yeah, I bet that was the game.
The exact game.
Yeah. Exact you guys game. Won the game. Yeah. It was 2002.
Down in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great yeah, exactly. Was
I'm glad
Atlanta.
You fact-checked me, because when you work with guys like Smoot, you got to fact-check things.
Well, you always have to fact-check Smoot. He never lets the truth get true. In the way of a good story, that's for sure. We are talking to one of the all-time great corners, and that is Sean Springs. What's the first thing when you sit down to watch a football game as a former player and a very high IQ corner that you look for? Like, when you sit down Saturday night, Washington's on defense, what are you going to be looking for?
Very first thing is third down. Well, very first thing going into that game, so I already have some, you know, as a player, I already have some thoughts in my mind. One, Detroit scores points. So they're going to score points. Two, we score points, right? So what I'm going to be looking for is, for us, can we sustain drives, right? Because, you know, if we can sustain drives and get their offense off the field, because they got some weapons now. They got some serious weapons. They got some guys who can run. And, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is probably as talented as Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
I mean, that's how talented that kid is. And Dave Montgomery is coming back. And they got guys, you know, St. Brown. Those guys can play. Their receivers can play. So for me, it's like, okay, first, I'm going to look at if Washington has the ball first. Like, can we sustain a drive against Detroit? Can we torch them? Can we score? Second is like, okay, when Detroit has the ball and they're moving the ball up and down the field, which they have on everybody, and I suspect they probably will on us, but can we hold them to field goals in the red zone? So I'm going to watch third down and I'm going to watch red zone when our defense is on the field and then when our offense is on the field. Can we run the ball on first and second down to get us in third and short? And because Aaron, you know, because they're going to suspect that James is going to run. It's totally different when you have to play a little different when it's third and two versus third and eight. Right?
Yeah, so, of course.
That's what I'll be looking at.
What did you see last week with Marshawn Lattimore?
I saw early in the game that a guy was coming off a hamstring wasn't necessarily ready for the matchup with Mike Evans. I thought Mike Evans did it. Yeah, I mean, him and Baker were on fire early. What I did see is Coach Joe Witt make the adjustments needed in the second half and not get caught up in a one-on-one matchup that everybody was hyping. Oh, Marshawn and Mike played. Yeah, well, he's also coming off a hamstring, so that wasn't fair to that kid. And they were reducing the splits where, you know, it was hard to press because they were putting them in bunt situation and Mike had a free release and a lot of the receivers had a free release. Hopefully this week he's better. His hamstring is feeling better. He is better. They got a kid from Ohio State at Detroit who's probably one of the fastest receivers in the league. So we're going to see.
Would you have him cover Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jameson Williams? Would you have him, you know, following somebody around like he did in the first half against Evans, or would you just play him on one side? How would you play him?
I think Mike Sinistrell is a monster. Huge fan of that kid, so I would just keep him on the side and play a solid defense. I think, in other words, let me say it in a different way. I think that the young rookie corner that we have is good enough right now where he's held his own against most receivers that he's faced this year. So I am confident that he can do the job and Marshawn can stay on this side. I feel really good about our corner matchup.
So I just said, and we're talking to Sean Springs, I against Tampa, because Baker was prone to putting a few balls up for grabs during the course of the year, I wanted them in attack mode. I didn't expect them to stop or slow down Tampa Bay, but I wanted a couple of takeaways in the game, and I wanted him to feel the pressure. With Detroit, I kind of feel like, and I'm just curious, you know, you talked about the offense is going to be the best defense. I think we all understand that. If they can possess the football, if they can score mm-hmm. on most of their possessions, they're going to have a chance if they don't make mistakes. But I feel like Ben, don't break, keep everything in front of you. Make them, you know, put them into 10, 11, 12 play drives and hope they make a mistake is a better bet against this team than being aggressive. What do you think?
Well, that's two different things. You said get them in long, third and long.
No. I want to keep everything in front of me. I want them yes. to do whatever they want to do between the 20s and then hope, you know, instead of a five-play drive 70 yards with Gibbs, you know, ripping off a 40-yard run or Williams scoring on a 40-yard touchdown, I want them to earn it in the red zone. And 10, 11 plays, you get a chance maybe that they make a mistake. There's a penalty or something, yes. and they kick field goals.
I'm in total agreement. Like, you know, be smart, keep the ball, show different looks. Now, here's what I would say about Jared Goff. He has some games where he will throw you some. Let's not act like he is just lighting it up. Like, I mean, he has some games where he's unbelievable and he's great. But he also has some games where he's Christmas and he hand out a few gifts. So I think we show different looks. I think that, you know, obviously they're a very explosive offense and you can stop them and we can play a little bit of a man. I think Joe Witt against Ben Johnson is going to be one of those games where if you're a spectator – and you really want to study football, you also record it because this is going to be like, you know, high-level scheme coaching this weekend. It's right. going to be big time.
So what do you? So give me the wit part of this.
Joe Witt, much like he did against Kyler Murray, you know, when he played a scrambling quarterback, he's going to show different looks. He's going to figure out ways to pressure them without exposing the corners, isolated one on one all the time. He's going to understand and not get frustrated like a lot of oftentimes some coordinators get when they give up big plays. He's not going to just jump from scheme to scheme. He's going to stick with his game plan. So when you see Coach Witt, and he's going to have those guys like ready. Those guys and Coach Quinn and Coach Witt, they're going to have those guys ready on defense. Because they know. I mean, it ain't no secret. Come on, man. Like, you know, like, Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, the kid right. is a monster. I'm not saying this lightly. Like, hey, guys, I don't know if y'all know. This kid is just as talented as anybody in the league.
He's legit.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's like Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. I mean, he's an elite back, and he's so fast. I mean, if he gets to the edge in this game, because Bucky Irving, when they started going outside in the second half, there was no edge setting. They've had that issue a lot of the year. They had that issue. Bijan Robinson, I also think, is an elite back, and he had his way.
You know,
Sean, their best defense all year long has been their offense. It's got to be that tomorrow night, right? I mean, you're not stopping Detroit drive. From scoring 30 if they get the ball enough.
It's the same drive. That's why that was the first thing I said. You asked me what I'm looking for. Can we stay on the field?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, and I think we can.
All right.
You know?
Have you, you know, you've played in a number of playoff games. Is there any kind of thought that this one's like icing on the cake, like all the pressure is off? Not that they had a lot of pressure on them at Tampa Bay, but is there kind of an advantage for Washington where no one's expecting this? Do you guys feel that as players when you go into games in which you're a big underdog, that it's just like, okay, there's no pressure, we can go play?
Well, it's two different things, right? So when you say no one is expecting us to go into Detroit, maybe not at the national level or wherever. I haven't seen the Vegas odds. But
Detroit's a 10-point favorite.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about to correct it. Detroit's a 10-point favorite. The feeling that I got being at the facility on Wednesday and talking among my peers and people I know around the league, it wouldn't be shocked if we went in there and beat the Detroit Lions. with a banged up defensive starters, make a couple plays here, and Jaden doing what he's doing. So, although it's a 10-point favorite, it wouldn't be shocking if they won.
And I agree. I agree with that. But what I'm asking you is, from a player perspective, do you ever have that feeling because you just had a big win? No one was expecting this team to win 12 games and get to the postseason and win a playoff game. And that, like, you know, a lot of people say everything from now on is icing on the cake. You know, if they don't, I'm not that way. I think they should take advantage of this opportunity. They've got the best quarterback in the conference right now. They could get to a Super Bowl over the next 2 weeks. But I'm wondering, from a player's perspective, do you ever feel like that weight or that pressure is off because you've already accomplished so much more than most people thought you would have?
Well, I think that happens in the regular season. I think there's still a little pressure in the playoff, to your point. It's less of seeming like because you're an underdog, but it's still pressure because, you know, you start every week, you start to be like, we're getting closer, right? It's that feeling of, like, if we win this game, you know, we're playing in the NFC Championship game. So there's pressure in the sense that, from a player's perspective, like, yeah, you're right. You know what? Nobody expects us when we're going to go out there and get it done, and we're going to play angry, and we're going to play violent. But in a sense, among each other, there's a little bit of pressure of, like, we're close, man. And then there's some veterans like Bobby probably in the locker room saying, it doesn't come around too often. Don't take this for granted. And he's putting the pressure on the team to, and when I say pressure, meaning, like, this week, get your tickets and everything out of the way. Make sure you're studying extra film. Make sure you're on it, because it's pressure, because we can do it. And that's where, in a sense of, like, not outside pressure of the people, because you're right. They think that team's good and they're great, but Detroit is the best team in the league, and they're probably, between them and the Eagles and Kansas City, they're going to win the Super Bowl, right? Okay, great. But so from that standpoint of view, there's less pressure. But the when I say that the team is internally are thinking about, like, no, we can go do this when we get closer. So there's a little bit of nerves there, I guess, is a better way to say it, Kevin.
Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. I hope you're well, and would love to do it again before another game.
How are you going to disrespect me like that, man? Get on a show and not even talk about the obvious we should be talking
about. All right, well, go ahead. Tell me. Actually, before we get to Monday night, I want to ask you one thing. Do you remember your first playoff game and who was on the other side of the field as the quarterback?
My first playoff game in the league?
Yeah.
No, who was it?
You faced Mark Dan Pennell? Marino.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They beat us. I remember that. I did. I gave up a skinny post to, Tony Martin. He was in Miami that year. Jeez.
That was Marino's last playoff season. I think it was the last year of his career.
Okay.
You got to face, as a rookie, one of the greatest ever. You weren't a rookie that year.
Yeah, I was a rookie. I was second.
Oh, you were a rookie that year? Man, you're much older than I thought. You played against Marino.
And Elway.
And Elway. Wow. All right. Yeah. Buckeyes fighting Irish Monday night. I'll tell you what, man. Texas had first and goal at the one. How didn't they get it in?
Hey, that's the past, man. How are you not going to mention the fact that we're playing in the championship? I love that. Thank you for asking about it. I think my Buckeyes going to go out.
Are you more excited about that than? Of course you are. That's the biggest game of the weekend for you. Clearly, will you be there?
No, I was at the Texas game. Me and Shawnee, and I took the family down to Dallas for the Texas game, man. So
that was a hell of a game.
You know, hell of a game. I got to see my dad's best friend Tony Dorsett. Shout out to TD. Everybody was in there. We played in Texas, but the Buckeyes, we were in there deep, man. Haven't heard from my boy Doc Walker and those guys. Shout out to those guys, and you know, all that want to reach out to me because my Buckeyes are doing our thing. Yeah, man, like, it's going to be a good game. Marcus Freeman played at Ohio State. Legend there.
Yeah.
You know, and Commanders fans, thank you guys for bearing with, you know.
Here's the most important question for you as a Buckeye alum. Would you trade Monday night for a win over Michigan?
No, I think that's overrated. Okay. I only care about the national title. Nobody's going to even – only thing they're going to remember about the Michigan loss is that was the game that probably caused us to just go just demolish everybody in the path to the national title.
Yeah, I should have had you on Monday. I don't know why I didn't think of just having you on Monday to recap the game and then preview the game. But I'll just ask you one more because I'm way behind here. Is Jeremiah Smith the best or most talented receiver to ever play at Ohio State? Yes or no?
He's the most talented receiver I ever played in college.
Whoa!
I've never seen anything like this. He's the third best receiver in the NFL.
If he's in there next year,
There's probably two receivers in the NFL I would only take over him right now.
Jefferson and Chase.
Probably maybe Chase and Tyreek Hill.
All right.
Maybe you're not understanding. This kid is I've seen a lot of things in my life. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, he is really something else. And what is he, 18, 19?
He's 17. He just turned 18.
Yeah.
He just turned 18.
All right, I got to run. I'm glad we got that in. The best receiver in the history of college football, he'd be the third best receiver in the NFL right now, Jeremiah Smith. We'll have time to talk about that game. Good luck to your Buckeyes Monday night. Thanks for doing this.
Bye-bye.
Sean Springs, everybody. We'll do some quick Denton news next. The Caps had a big win. Ovechkin came up huge. And then we'll get back to the game tomorrow night.